1018 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge, 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. She'll let you get down with us all day, throughout the entire day. You can jump over on the YouTubes. 105.1 The Fan is the channel. Like, subscribe, smash them buttons, jump in the chat. Be nice to each other out there. A lot to get to this hour. We will get into a little bit of NFL as there's Jerry's doubling down on some stuff. And, you know, when you start paying guys, then other dudes look around and go, wait a sec. That guy makes how much money?
Dial it down, folks.
That guy makes how much money and I make how much money? So we get to some NFL this hour as well. But we start, my friend. There's only one left. Only one thing left to do. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's been a good ride.
The 2026 Seattle Mariners are officially dead on arrival.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there's anything to do to help them. I think it's time to just pack it up and call it a day. The Seattle Mariners fall last night 22-0 to the Milwaukee Brewers.
That's rough. Again, 22.
It is
okay,
the.
Okay, that's tough for your pitching. You put up a goose egg. You couldn't even get to the park that day.
It is the largest shutout in baseball history, the largest margin of victory in a shutout since, I believe, 1898. What else do we got here? Gary Sanchez closed the game out on the mound, gave up two hits in one inning, no walks, no Ks, no runs. This is a pretty rough look, my man.
This is really rough. That's really tough.
I like to live in a world when it comes to baseball. Look, they're only 3.5, something like that, back from the wild card. I like to live in a world where, like, anything can happen. You know, you can find ways to get stuff down. You can find ways to pull out of slumps. This one, I don't know if this is going to do it.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Julio made the catch and then threw the ball out of play. So there was only one out. So once he threw out a play, everyone got a base. There's another base hit.
Oh, well, now we've tied a record.
Yeah, it's 22 at this point.
So when things go bad, sometimes things continuously go bad, and they get to a point where I don't know if you're going to pull out of it. Now, the interesting thing about the Seattle Mariners in the American League West is, look, the team that might win the American League West might have an under 500 record. Okay, the Houston Astros are atop that division right now at 500, 63-63. Rangers are a game back. Mariners are four game back. What's interesting is the Mariners actually have less ground to cover in the wild card race. However, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams ahead of them for three spots. So that puts them in a little tricky position. Their best chance is to win the American League West. But I don't know, Casey, if I have seen a team fall apart like this, okay? A lot of expectations coming this year. You're in the American League Championship Series last year. For my money, you probably should have beat Toronto and gone to the World Series. Mm-hmm. Toronto was lightning in a bottle. They were hot. They were able to win that series. Great, great series. Really good baseball to watch. So you come in this year with a lot of expectations. I don't think anybody estimated Cal's drop-off to be as big as it was. I mean, I know Toronto fans are also concerned because I believe it has been 347 days since Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has hit a home run at Rogers Center, which is a wild thing to think about.
It's been a full year.
It's been a full year, 365? Yep. Okay.
366 after
Ooh,
yesterday.
Gross. So you assume that Cal Raleigh's going to have a little dip in performance, but I don't think you expect it to be this big of a dip in performance.
Yeah, 157, a 271 on base percentage, and a 299 slugging.
Can you see on that how many hits does he have?
He's got 52 hits in 331 at-bats.
He had 60 home runs last year, and he has 53 hits.
Yeah, he's got 13 home runs this year. That would put him not even in the top five of the Mariners.
Now, Julio's not figured it out yet. Josh Naylor's been porous.
But Julio's still having relatively average numbers. The strikeouts is probably what you want to take away from him, but he's...
Welcome to his whole career.
256, 321 on base percentage, 422 slugging. Decent numbers.
Yeah, but Josh Naylor's been down, and Colt Emerson's been kind of a bust hitting-wise. Brendan Donovan's been hurt all year. The only good player for the Mariners right now is Randy Arozarena, and he's in a walk year. And yep. I don't think he's coming back.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he's coming back. The pitching staff has not been as great as it should be. Okay, you Bryce Miller. What's that?
You optioned away Luis Castillo at the deadline, and he's only done beautiful things for this White Sox team.
Which is crazy, because he was the guy you had to get rid of. Because the payroll, the salary, where's he going to fit in the rotation? He's the odd man out. Mm-hmm. You had to move him. And you did, and it's kind of revigorated him a little bit. In Chicago, he's on a team that could make a run in the playoffs. Look, I think it boils down to a lot of stuff. We talk about this when it comes to, new ownership. We spend a lot of time talking about new ownership in sports, especially in basketball, where sometimes you might need to tear this thing down to the studs. With how this season has gone, I mean, Dan Wilson's got to go. There's already reports that if they don't make the playoffs, he's going to go. Could have seen that a mile away. But I wonder if you're really talking clean the house. I wonder if you're talking get rid of DePoto, get rid of the GM, get rid of it all and start from scratch. Because you are in a window now with guys that you have locked up that can do stuff that you have to figure out now.
That's why I don't think you scrap everything. Because this is the Mariners' best window that I've seen them have in my lifetime. In terms of roster and just roster cohesiveness and the talent loaded up on this roster, this is the Mariners' best window that I've seen in my lifetime.
I think it's the second best window in mine. I mean, I'm alive for 95, mm-hmm. so I'm alive for that. That team was stacked. 2001 was a stacked team as well, but that was a lot of really good role players that were all kind of having career years.
The Dan Wilson of it all is really what's scaring me.
Me too.
I think he should have been gone by the deadline. I don't think that the roster construction made sense and how that he was managing everything, especially mm-hmm. with the six arms in the bullpen, in the starting rotation. Created a lot of confusion. Obviously, you're not getting the performance out of your all-star catcher that you want. So it's a big issue right now, and I think it's more of a clubhouse issue than necessarily a roster construction issue.
You're looking at a starting rotation that should rival anybody's in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You also have Cade Anderson and Ryan Sloan right behind, ready to do some damage as well.
Yep.
So you have assets you can move. Looking at George Kirby. I wouldn't move Logan Gilbert, but you could. You've got Josh Naylor, Cal Raleigh, Julio Rodriguez. Look, Cole Young has been excellent at second base this year. He might win the Gold Glove, and probably, in fact, he should. Taylor Ward addressed your right field problems, but you had right field problems all year. Brendan Donovan couldn't stay healthy. You had third base and shortstop issues all year. J.P. Crawford was hurt multiple times. You're in a really bad spot, but you're in a window of young, old, controllable. Like, this is the time to go.
And your pitching is only getting – your relief pitching – is only getting worse. And I think that's one of the quickest indictments you can have on a manager in baseball is who he's selecting to come in situational moments. And the guys that Wilson has been selecting to come in these tight game moments, we've seen a lot of Mariners 4-4, 3-3, again, low scoring, but tied close games when they're going into the 6th, the 7th, possibly even the 8th inning, and they're blowing leads. That's the toughest thing. So I think it's situationally who guys are which guys Dan Wilson's bringing in the bullpen, as well as, the offense and defense needs to come together, because that's not what's happening right now.
Have you seen what's going on in the Mariners subreddit right now?
No, hit me with it.
They have completely abandoned all thoughts of baseball. It is now completely 100% for nautical enthusiasts of the Seattle area and beyond. Have you seen this whale?
That's a quick pivot.
Is this your favorite? Who's the greatest Mariner ever? All-star. It's Stephen Decatur, who sailed the Intrepid undetected past the guns of Tripoli Harbor and burned the Philadelphia to keep the Pirates from using it. And this guy says, I think it's James Cook.
And this was a team that was one game or, again, a few instances away from being in a World Series.
Yeah. Has anybody figured out the longitude problem yet? I need to see how close I am to Spain.
Like, this is tough. This is one of the quickest turnarounds. The fact that they're was 8 games out of the wild card race?
Yeah. My favorite Mariner to watch on TV, and it's a picture of Popeye the Sailor Man.
Tough.
You've broke them. They're dead.
They're hurting.
You killed them.
They're hurting a lot.
Seattle fans are pretty diehard, man. They'll take it. They're used to taking it. You've killed them.
You gave them one sliver of hope and then stripped it away from them in less than 12 months.
Look, I root for the Mariners from afar. I don't know how he comes. Are we on Luke Anderson watch right now? Do we need to check in with him every hour?
Check in.
Oh boy.
It's a tough look right now for the Mariners.
It really is, especially with how low the American League is, how bad the West is. Everything was working in your favor. You might not be the Tampa Bay Rays at 75-50, but you could easily be 72-53.
The team that you lost to go into the World Series is have winning one of their worst starts of the season, or even one of the worst seasons that we've seen them have since before Jose Bautista. And they're still reachable within the wild card ahead of your Mariners. That's the tough look. You just said it. Vladimir Guerrero hasn't hit a home run in over a year, and they're still closer in the wild card standings than the Mariners are.
The Mariners are closer to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim than they are to the New York Yankees, who have the first wild card spot.
How you doing?
That's insane.
Awful. But that's awful.
That is insane. The Angels are buns.
They were closer to the sellers of the deadline. The Angels were the biggest sellers of the deadline. And the Mariners are right there with them.
503-864-6326. Let me know your Mariners situation. You guys doing all right out there? Because I'm a little worried. Don't blow the whole thing up. No. Let's not get crazy here. Okay? This isn't trade Cal Raleigh, trade Julio, trade Naylor, trade Gilbert, trade Wu. No. We're not there.
I don't want to call for a guy's job, but something's got to give.
Oh, Dan's got to go. I'll call for the job. I'll be the one. I'll fall on the sword. Dan's got to go. You need somebody in that has history. Because, look, Dan might be a good vibes guy, but, you know, Phil Neville was a good vibes guy, too. Sometimes you just got to find new voices, new leadership. And as much as everybody loves, you know, the great, Edgar's probably got to go too.
I think this Mariners team needs to find a way to get scrappy. And Dan Wilson's ethos of what his team is not scrappy.
Might as well go win the whole f***ing thing.
How surprised would you be if they went on a run?
Not very surprised, because they have the talent to. That's the issue. Is they're so talented where I don't see them not making the wild card.
I know. I want to say that too, but I don't believe it.
I have a tough time saying it with
Julio's mistake last night. Cal being MIA. Look, I think they've cashed in. I think it's 1-2-3 Cancun.
I think you could be right.
When we come back, Jerry won't let old things die, or at least he'll double down on him. Well, that's what Jerry does. We'll toss it to Casey with sports. Big hour of footy coming up here in hour number deuce, but let's jump into the NFL, have a little fun. As football's getting closer and closer, do we have preseason games tomorrow, Casey? Am I correct in that? NFL preseason tomorrow?
I believe you are correct.
Let's see here. Thursday, yep. A 5 o'clock game and a 7 o'clock game. The Raiders visit the Houston Texans. Niners at Chargers.
And then we also have a few games on Friday as well.
Okay, so football and then a few on Saturday. See, is there any on Sunday? Scrolling. No. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you get some NFL in your life. Maybe I'll watch some of this.
One Sunday game. One, yeah, Seattle and Tennessee play on Sunday.
Oh, which you can hear right here on The Fan. Home of your Seattle Seahawks. Jerry Jones. Okay, we all know the old great Jera.
Smiles and glory holds.
And how much he loves football and cares about football, but more importantly, no one's bigger than the star except for old Jerry himself, right? Is that fair to say? No one's bigger than the star except for Jerry himself. Okay.
Perfect.
Jerry Jones has addressed the Micah Parsons trade again. Dude, this is like a girlfriend that you broke up with and you won't stop talking about. So she lives rent-free in your head is basically how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, even though Micah's an outstanding talent anybody would like to have, the bottom line is I like what the result of the trade has ended up as I stand here today. It's like going to Las Vegas with some extra money in your pocket or going out there with a baby's new pair of shoes and formula money in your pocket. You can't be as good a crap shooter as you are when you've got the baby's new pair of shoes throwing out there with it. Oh, okay.
You want me to revisit these trade package deals?
Yes, please.
All right, so Micah Parsons was traded on August 28th of 2025, and in return, got the Dallas Cowboys received defensive tackle Kenny Clark.
which was a nice pickup.
A Packers 2026 and a 2027 first-round pick. The 2026 first-round pick was used to select edge rusher Malachi Lawrence out of UCF, and the 2027 first-round pick was later leveraged to acquire Quinnen Williams from the Jets.
Okay, so Quinnen Williams, nice player.
You got Kenny Clark, Malachi Lawrence, and Quinnen Williams out of those.
Is Jerry confusing that Caleb Downs is not part of that?
Possibly, but either way, you still got three rushers.
Does he think he got Caleb Downs because he traded Micah Parsons?
Partially, I bet.
I think he does.
I bet.
I think he does. He's like, well, we traded Micah Parsons, and our defense was so bad that we couldn't win games last year, and that landed us Caleb Downs, who also fell in the draft further than anybody assumed. So, I mean, that's clearly because of Micah Parsons.
And they also helped bolster their defense by getting Jalen Thompson, safety from Arizona, and Kobe Durant, cornerback from the Rams, who obviously the Rams decided not to pay because they went and got Trent McDuffie.
Now, the other thing is, does Jerry think that Micah Parsons ripping his knee to shreds is also a benefit from him trading him?
Yes, because he's got three defensive linemen right now that are all going to take week one snaps. Micah Parsons is not.
You can't be as good a crap shooter as you are when you've got the baby's new pair of shoes throwing out there with it.
I think my biggest issue was this was when it happened.
Dude, you're a weirdo.
Micah Parsons' value was through the roof, so everyone was going, oh, you can't get rid of a guy like Micah. Well, the Cowboys in return got what I would say is three guys that should add up to Micah's production.
So you do think that the Cowboys did well in this trade eventually?
I didn't know that.
Quinnen Williams is nice, and they extended him.
Yeah, the being able to leverage that 2027 first round pick for Quinnen Williams, who is top five at his position right now, that's big. Kenny Clark, he's a Pro Bowler. But I'm very interested to see what this first-round edge rusher Malachi Lawrence at a UCF looks like. Because, again, UCF, I love my pass rushers, and they're on an island a lot of the time. But what is this jump to the NFL going to look like for him?
Yeah, and I'm just curious about the Cowboys in general. I mean, I know we don't spend a ton of time talking about the Cowboys on this program, mostly because I have no reason to. But as you've been running by your fantasy garbage with me, I mean, Dak should have a nice year. He had a nice year last year, statistically.
Javonte Williams ran for 1,000 yards last year. He's seeming to find his stride in the NFL.
I know not everybody believes in Brian Schottenheimer, and I understand that, and I'm okay with that. I don't know if I do either. Those are fair criticisms. You're in a loaded division. The Giants are getting better. The Eagles are still probably the most talented roster of that division.
But I don't know if the Giants are getting better.
I bet you the Giants are getting better.
How so?
I think Harbaugh gives you a win and a half.
I think their defense is getting better. Sure. Offensively, there's still so many questions there because you don't know what Jackson Dart looks like in full form. Cam Scadaboo, what is he going to stay healthy? Is that why you go get a guy like Najee Harris to help take the load off of Scadaboo?
But I do think the Giants will be better.
I think they'll be better. I don't think they'll compete for this division.
I don't think so either, but they're going to be better, so that'll be a tough route. Did they not beat the Cowboys last year one out of the two times? The Russ game? It was like 45-43. Didn't that happen last year?
The Russ game, no.
Is that 2 years ago?
I believe it was the Jameis receiving touchdown game.
I don't remember.
I think that could have been the one.
And then the Commanders. The Commanders should be better, assuming health. I know Mariota's down, which really stinks for them.
But you're hoping that Stephon Diggs is able to allow Jaden Daniels to spread the ball around to Terry McLaurin. You still have Zach Ertz over the middle.
Yeah.
You've got a decent running back room, and that defense, well, that defense is always the biggest question.
Scary got paid, so you're good on that.
Mm-hmm.
You assume Jaden Daniels is healthy. I mean, do the Cowboys finish third in this division?
I think they win this division.
You do?
Yeah. I have a hard time thinking that Philadelphia is able to be as effective in the passing game this year without a guy like A.J. Brown. They're undersized at the receiver position. I don't necessarily know what Mekhi Lemon's going to look like against NFL corners.
Hey, man, what do you mean you don't know what I look like?
I don't know, man. It's a big question.
Perked
because
out?
They're very undersized.
Yeah.
Like Devonta Smith is the Slim Reaper, and Mekhi Lemon's your other receiver.
What'd you call him? Perk 30?
Yeah. What numbers does he wear?
I don't know. What does he wear?
We'll figure that out.
Okay. All right. Well, that's Dallas Cowboy owner Jerry Jones doubling, tripling down on that. And, you know, when you spell it out, yeah, maybe you are correct.
He's number nine, so he's per nine.
Maybe, you know, maybe it is correct, and this team is better from moving on from Micah Parsons. Comparing it to the Herschel Walker trade, I find really hilarious, too, because that rattled off three Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a lot of shoes to fill if you think you're going to rattle off three Super Bowls by trading Micah Parsons. I would have just paid Micah Parsons, personally.
I don't hate the move. I think Jerry made the right move, again, because if Mike is going to stay hurt, you don't necessarily know what his production is, but you got guys that are going to give you real production. My biggest issue is, how does it all seem? How does it all come across?
Mm-hmm.
It all comes across like, well, the ex-girlfriend is still taking up space in that head.
No kidding. I think that's the worst part about it. It's just like, bro, like, move on. Okay? He doesn't play on your team.
It's a little
sad.
In
fact, he's not even going to play week one, bro. Let it go.
Just he's looking like, to play against you in week six.
Yeah, dude, just
five games that he's not a part of.
Yeah,
that
man.
You possibly could be division deciders.
Just talk about, like, the, you know, we extended Quinnen Williams. We love Caleb Downs. Let's do this thing. Dak's going to have a huge year. Why are you talking about the ex? Leave it alone, Jerry. Leave it alone. What happens when you pay somebody? Well, the old guard goes, wait a sec. That guy makes money? Stick in the NFL next. 105.1 The Fan. The Fan Sports Network.